Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I think my voice is loud enough also, so I think I can get along without this. And I think if anybody doesn't need to use the microphone, it's probably me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd like to pray before we start. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity. I want to thank you that we have the privilege of being able to gather like this to share, to break the Word of God. And Father, you see the need that we have. And you know the word that is need to be given in order to cure the malady that we have. It says that you sent your word to heal our disease. And Father, we are talking about the sin sickness of our soul. The contamination, that we have because of sin and death. The destruction that lies within us, my God, because of the position of the prince and the power that rules over the very air that we breathe. And it is in your plan, Father, that condition should not continue. It is in your heart to bring the ability of man to rise off, to shake off that death and damnation. To shed that existence, even as the caterpillar does shed its existence as a worm, to come forth as a butterfly. So Father, I submit my mind to you. I submit my emotions to you. I submit my desires to you. My God, I ask that you anoint the ears of the hearer, that it goes beyond the language, Father. It reaches beyond the words, Father, into the very heart, that spirit might talk to soul and that soul might respond. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? No, say amen like you mean it. Oh boy, must be tired or you ate too much rice. Praise the Lord. I kind of want to go on where Brother Martin was ministering on this morning. And kind of share with you some more of the mystery. I need the other colors. The first thing I want to define some terminology. The Bible uses many different terms in talking about God and talking about the devil. When discussing heaven or hell, the Bible uses many different terminologies and terms. And if that wasn't complicated enough, When preachers preach, they often use their own terms to describe the terms in the Bible. Hallelujah. But so we really want to be clear on some of the terminology that is used in the Bible. There are two destinies. There are two destinies that are apportioned unto man. When I say destinies, I mean the end of the day, the product that happens at the end of the day. As in the difference between the devil and God, there is no in between. The devil wants you to believe that there is an in-between the two destinies, an area that we will call the gray zone. And the church teaches you that as long as you abide in this gray zone, that means that you may have had an experience with Jesus Christ. You may have been born again. You may have received the Lord as your personal Savior. So you're but you're only human. And that but is a very big but. Do you have something in your language like but?
Yeah, piro.
Piro.
Yeah. Huh? But.
Yeah, but. And that is oftentimes, if not more often than not, used to excuse the presence of sin or imperfection. Hallelujah. There are two distinct words, I suppose, in the English language as well as in your language. They are biblical words. They are light. And they are darkness. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. It says that darkness was upon the face of the deep. Hallelujah. But it also says that in that midst of darkness, that God spoke a word. And when he spoke that word, he said, "Let there be light." And the Bible says immediately there was a division between light and darkness. A separation. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? A separation. That meant there was no more darkness in light, and no more light in darkness. That means no gray area.
Hallelujah.
The way that you get gray, the color gray, is you take a little bit of white and you take a little bit of black and you mix them together, and you don't have black and you don't have white. What you have is gray. Praise the Lord. And what the churches tell you, and what the Bible, what the devil wants you to believe, is that gray is okay. In fact, brother, you could make a bumper sticker for the church that says gray is okay. Now, it is not the devil that tells you this per se, it is the church. It tells you that you and I are human. And because we're human, we are going to have to live with sin. Hallelujah. It's a lie. It is a lie with a capital L, or whatever word that you put. Hallelujah. Now, whoa, don't clap. Because it should make you unhappy. Because all of us are living in this gray zone. And the gray zone is unacceptable as far as God is concerned. We have hot. We have cold. Look.
Agui.
Warm. Look warm.
Hallelujah.
What will God do with you if you are lukewarm? What is God going to do with you and me if you are lukewarm, 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 and you are lukewarm, you are lukewarm, you are lukewarm, what's God going to do? Is He going to have mercy on you? No, there's no doubt about it. It's not an in-between. It's not a gray area. It's not a gray area. Do you know that God brought the Jewish nation into existence gave them rules and regulations, gave them feasts and ritual things that were supposed to be done. They lived, they died, they have suffered for the sake of demonstrating a no tolerance principle that is in the heart of God. You have the word no tolerance, right? That means there's no wiggle room. There's no exception. Now, do you all believe that you are to be like Christ? Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that is what the Bible teaches?
Glory to God.
Do you know that the lamb that was to be offered at the Day of Atonement was to be taken by the high priest and put into a place of examination. They went over that lamb with what we would call a fine tooth comb. It's a comb with the teeth very close together. They looked at its feet. They determined whether the bone structure of the animal was perfect. They looked inside of the mouth of the sheep. They examined the ears of the sheep. They examined the eyes of the sheep. And then they would go over the coat of the sheep. They would take the sheep and they would pull the hair of the sheep, looking at the skin of the sheep that was under the fur, the hair. Hallelujah. Why did they do that? Does anybody know what the principle was, what the law said that they had to have? The law said that they had to have a sheep. They had to have a lamb without spot, without wrinkle. It had to be perfect. Perfect, Brother John.
Amen. That's right.
Do you know what they did to Jesus? The evening before he was sacrificed. They went and they arrested him. They dragged him into the court of the high priest. They called together the religious community, the rabbis of the rabbis, the pastors of the pastors, and they begin to examine him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They begin to ask him questions. And they begin to dig into him. And they begin to abuse him and misuse him. Hallelujah. All of it was done for one reason. One reason alone. And it was done to find fault with him.
God.
Are you listening, young man? I hope you're listening.
Amen.
Because your age makes no difference.
Hallelujah.
It makes no difference to God.
Amen.
If you hear a word of truth, your age makes no difference. You will be held accountable for that truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So if I was you, I would listen. Hallelujah.
Right. Amen. Hallelujah.
They were examining him to find fault with him. And he was so perfect and so much without fault Because in Him there was no darkness. That they had to lie about Him. But even His them lying about Him did not disturb Him or make any darkness, give room for any darkness. Hallelujah. Do you think that is going to be any different for you or for me? It's not going to be any different. You're not going to get into what we call heaven on the basis of I should have or I would have or I could have. Did you hear me? We do not teach you a doctrine of I should have, I would have, or I could have. All right, that was a difficult one, huh? No gray area. There is no lukewarmness. Hallelujah. There are two destinies. There is the destiny of light and there is the destiny of darkness. One of the terminologies we use to describe this is heaven. And one of the terminologies over here would be hell. Another terminology we use to describe it is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. On this side, you could call it world. All of these terminologies say one in the same thing. If you mix this with this, you get this. You get the gray area. If you mix hot with cold, you get this. If you mix heaven with hell, you get this. If you mix kingdom of God with world, you get this. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is no in between. Now we can be moving from this area into this area, but we must come through into this area. Hallelujah. You do not stop here in this area and build yourself a house. Or build yourself a church.
Glory to God.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We have on this side, we have what we call sons of God. How many of you will believe in sons of God? How many of you believe that God was wanting many sons? You believe that? Hallelujah. Well, you know something? Darkness wants a son too. But he wants a son of perdition. I don't know if that's spelled right. Perdition. Praise God. Have you heard of the son of perdition?
Amen.
What is the son of perdition? What is the son of perdition? Is it an individual? Is it an actual person? You're afraid to answer me, right? Alright. It is a spirit. If you are a Bible student, you will see in one of the Gospels or one of the letters that Paul wrote or one of the apostles wrote, he talks about the spirit of perdition. The spirit of perdition that works in the realm of disobedience and rebellion. Hallelujah. When your children disobey you and they do not do what you tell them to do, they are being motivated by a spirit of perdition.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Not only are they being motivated with it, but they, just like us, were born with the same pernicious nature. Boy, you're good. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Pernicious nature.
Oh God.
It says, even though Romans, the fifth chapter, says, even though we have not committed our sin in the similitude of Adam, because of Adam's sin, we are all born dead. Hallelujah. So, when you have life, and you have death. I want you to understand the terminology that we use to describe the condition of humanity. If you do not understand it, then you will be guilty of transgressing it without an awareness or knowledge of what you are doing. And one of the things that God is doing in this dispensation of time is He is giving us, He is eliminating our excuses. It doesn't make any difference whether I believe it or not. It is a spiritual fact, a spiritual truth, that God is coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Hallelujah. You know, I could just as well write over here. I could get a little more personal. I could say English. I could say German.
German.
I can say Czech
Republic.
Hallelujah. I could say Filipino. Do you know where your language came from? Do you know where your nation was born? It wasn't born here in these islands. This is where you wound up at the end of the day. But this is where it was born. Do you know where it was born? It was born in a place called Mesopotamia, right?
Huh?
In a place called Babylon. Go to your Bibles and prove me wrong. I'm not afraid of you contending with me. Humanity got together after the flood. And they determined to do something to keep God from killing them again. Did you hear me? God had just destroyed the whole world because of wickedness. Because darkness, and I say darkness from this point over, had begun so great, had become so terrible, that it was destroying all of the righteous. If I say the word malignant, do you have that word?
No. Do
you understand what it means? They use the word malignant in medical terminologies. To describe something that is called cancer. And cancer is a symbolism, or it is an illustration of what darkness is. What darkness can do, how it does it, and what is the effect of it at the end of the day. Now, maybe some of you who have some friends, and you found out that they had cancer. What was your first thought? Oh my. They're a dead person. Isn't that right? No hope. I mean, when somebody says you have cancer, it's like a death tone. It's like a death sentence. But yeah, that's right. I understood that one. No translation there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And cancer is like darkness. Cancer begins in your, you become the host.
Kita agamatan kita nahimo na sundanan
for growth that lives off of your body.
Na nagasubok din siya diri sunod sa ato ang lawas.
It disguises itself in a way or in a manner to where your body does not recognize its position of jeopardy. Hallelujah. And it goes to great pains to make sure that you do not know that it is existing or living in your body. And the object of it, of cancer, is to feed off of your body.
And it
feeds and it grows till it comes to a place to where it can kill you.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. And that is how sin works in yours and my existence in the realm of Christianity.
Hallelujah.
I have a friend, and he says, he has this little expression. He says, if it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it must be a duck. What am I saying? If it looks like the world, if it quacks like the world, it must be the world. Hallelujah. You know, I kind of feel sorry for you a little bit. a little bit. Because I'm creating problems for you. Because you're not going to be able to walk out of this door without having a responsibility to make the right choices. And if you don't make the right choices, there's going to be a consequence to you as an individual. You are not ever going to be able to go back to do the same thing that you have been doing in the past without consequences. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Hallelujah. So if I am dressing like the world, and I am listening to what the world listens to, and I am looking at what the world is looking at, I am not Christian. I am not a son of God. I am working to be a son of perdition. Hallelujah. Turn with me to John chapter 17. Hallelujah. There was a friend of mine many, many years ago. He's passed on now. And him and I, as young men, were in this word together. But somewhere the brother kind of took a left turn. And he lost his vision. He lost his righteousness. But he had a magazine that he was publishing, and it is really kind of it kind of defines the church in this hour. And the name of the publication was Good News. From a happy God. Oh yes. You know, I don't think God is so happy with the church today. I don't think he's very pleased with us as Christian people. And in fact, I'll go a step further. I believe that as in the days of Noah, so shall it be as in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Men and women, Christians and heathens, will be eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, and will not know the time of his appearing. Hallelujah. I believe that we are coming into the final days of the judgment of God. Hallelujah. Now all of this would be bad news if it wasn't for the good news of the word that God is bringing to his church in this hour. Hallelujah. Much like in the days of John the Baptist, prior to the coming of Jesus Christ, there was a man by the name of John who was anointed of God from his mother's womb. And sent to bring the word, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is not a natural man in this hour that is coming. But it is a prophetic word that God is loosing. And it is a word that is proclaiming to the church as well as humanity out there that Jesus Christ is coming. Hallelujah. And that we as a people need to repent. We need to repent of our rebellion. We need to repent of, in regards to our position, our system of religion. We need to repent of our sins of flesh. Hallelujah. You know, I have been in the gospel for almost 50 years. I have been traveling around and back and forth in the world since I was 27 years old. Not in churches, supposed to speak, but in those little home fellowships that start in the basement or out in the bush in Nigeria or India. And this message has been going out to the nobodies. But God is now bringing this message to those who have been involved in religion. And God has to do that. Because God has to give you and I the first right of refusal. You got that? That means that God came to you somewhere along the road. You responded to God, and you begin to move within the gifts and the callings that God has put on your life. But you were only moving with partial vision. And you were probably in the fact involved in all of the systematic things of organized religion. But because something in your heart was right toward God, God had a responsibility to bring you the revelation of the end time and what it is He desires to do. But bringing the revelation, hearing the revelation, hallelujah, does not give you the position or the right of sonship. What gives you the right of sonship is your response to the word. Oh God, help us. There is so much uncleanness in the church.
Amen.
There is adultery. There is fornication. There's all manner of perversions that are going on in the church under a sanctimonious blanket of righteousness. Hallelujah. And you know, God is giving us an opportunity to repent. And if we don't repent, God is going to exclude us from the aspect of what it is that He is wanting to do in this hour. Hallelujah. You know, I know many ministers that are involved in adulterous relationships. I know ministers that are involved in homosexual relationships. My God, I'm talking about the church. And we have swept it under the table. We have moved it out of sight, out of mind. But God is not content. God is moving to cleanse His temple. Brethren, do you hear me? The thing that happened prior to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is that he was sent by God into the midst of the temple. He had a scourge, a whip, that had tongs on it. And he went into the temple, throwing the money changers' temple and whipping the people out of the temple, driving them out of the temple. And he said, "My house is a house of prayer, and you have made it a house of the den of thieves." Hallelujah. The preacher is more interested in the offering. He's more interested in the position or the place of prestige than he is in the souls of the people. God wants a man, a woman, a child who feels the pain of the sin that is on humanity. Did you hear me? God wants you to feel it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God.
God is not happy. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus Christ in John chapter 17, he said that he had sanctified himself. Did you hear me? He didn't sanctify Peter. He didn't sanctify John. He didn't sanctify Matthew. He sanctified himself. Hallelujah. That John, Matthew, and Peter could be sanctified. We've missed the mark. We're more interested in building churches. Whether they're building churches or building home fellowships, we build. But there's no sanctification. There's no righteousness. People living in sin. Do you know the Bible says that if I am a liar, I will not go to heaven? If I am a liar, come on! Lying is going to disqualify me from being with God? Yes! That's what the Bible says! If I am a liar, I disqualify myself! How much more if I participate in fleshly things in the church? My God, the Bible says, if my eyes look upon a woman to lust after that woman, I have committed adultery. My God, my God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, it's not the temptation.
Praise the Lord.
It's what you do with the temptation.
Hallelujah.
It's not the temptation.
Hallelujah.
It's what you do, how you respond to that temptation. And I'm here to tell you something. By the word of the Lord, if you're in sin, and that sin is hidden, and you do not do something about it, God is going to reveal it. Oh, God, help us.
Glory to God.
Oh, Jesus. You know, sister, you're going to have to chew on this one, but you need to go home.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You need to go home and take care of your house.
Hallelujah.
Your house is in trouble. You need to go home and take care of your house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have given them thy word, verse 14. And the world hath hated them. Does the world hate you? Does it hate you? Do you know the hatred the world has for you? Have you experienced it? How many nights did you spend in jail? Oh, how many nights did you spend in terror? Because somebody wanted to kill you. Hallelujah. The disciples, they hid themselves after Jesus' death. Oh, God, help us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even as they are, because they are not of the world. They are in the world. Do you hear me? But they are the world. The world is not in them. Hallelujah. Brother Martin had the drawing on the table, on the board. Showing the process of salvation. Oh yeah, we get people saved and we go on to the next one. Get that one saved, go on to the next one. Get that one saved, go on to the next one. Oh, let's go back. We baptize them. We do it like a production line. Like Christians running off the meal. And they come by. Christian, 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 Christian. You know, Brother John?
Yeah.
Jesus said of the Pharisaical religious system, you scour the world to make one, what do they call it?
Apostolite.
Proselyte. Yeah, proselyte. You scour the world to make one proselyte, and you make him what? 10 times. 7 times. What is it? Huh? 10 times more the child of hell than you do of God.
Right.
Of the kingdom of heaven. Why? Oh, you get them saved, you get them baptized, they think they're okay. They can still live in sin. They can still lust with their eyes. They can still lust with their ears. They can still use their bodies in a way that is inappropriate. It's the word of God that we bring people that brings the sanctification. You are saved in this condition. You are being saved in this condition so that you can be and shall be saved in the end. Hallelujah. Do you know of the church in Acts? They went from house to house breaking bread. That wasn't just natural bread. You know, I come to your fellowships and I ask questions. Who is Adam and Eve? Who is Noah? Who is Abraham? Who is this one or that one? And they can't tell me. The little simple stories that we tell children. Samson and Noah and David, the church as a whole, they don't know it. They don't know it. They don't know it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I'm a carpenter by trade. I was a general contractor for over 20 some years. And I built houses. I was working in commercial properties. And you know, I was very conscientious about what I did. And if I did something, I didn't want it to last for a year or 2 years or 3 years. I wanted to build it like it would last forever. So when I put down that foundation, I made sure it is at the right depth, the right height, the right width. If they told me to put two rounds of steel in the foundation, I would put three, maybe four. Hallelujah. Because I wanted that thing to stand no matter what came in that regard, with regards to it. And you know, foundation work is hard, dirty work. Pick and shovel. Hallelujah. Hard, dirty work. Hallelujah. But there is something about it. When I got done and that thing was poured with that concrete, everything was square, strong. Hallelujah. I could turn away from it and say, my, what a good job. And the inspector would come out and look at it. And he said, no problem, go ahead. Hallelujah. I believe that's what was going on in Acts. A lot of foundation work. When I was a young man, we had fellowship in our home. We had a church in our house. And it never was really, really very big. And we would work with these people, teaching them the foundational principles of God. Hallelujah. That was over 40 years ago. I can go back into that area where we were in California, and those people are still serving the Lord, still pressing for righteousness, and their lives are demonstrating the righteousness of it. Hallelujah. And I haven't been there for 20 years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to begin to teach the Word of God. It says, I have given them thy word. When we meet together, we can have a hymn. We can have a song. We can have the gifts of God moving. But we are in need of the Word of God to lay down a foundation of righteousness. It's not something you can do by blowing in and then blowing out. Hallelujah. It's like having kids. And you think they grow up and they move away and that's it, right? But they get married and they have kids. And no matter how old they are, they're always your kids. And because of their kids and they got problems, they're always going to be coming to you for counsel, for advice. I have children in the 30-year bracket. And my phone will ring. And 40. Yeah, that's right. They're turning over, aren't they? They're moving into that new dispensation. Hallelujah. And I get a call at night. And the call comes at a very inappropriate time for me. Hallelujah. Dad, I'm in trouble. And it's not just a little trouble. Hallelujah. It's a big trouble. Hallelujah. And I have to be able to counsel him in righteousness. I can't say, oh, you poor thing, I'm so sorry you're in this trouble. I cannot say, oh, you poor thing, I'm sorry that you're in this trouble. You didn't deserve it. No. I can't do that if in the circumstances I see the hand of God. I have to say, son, as much as I love you, you have to repent. You have to fix your situation. You have to fix it. Now, when I hang up the phone, I go into my bedroom and get down on my face before God. Hallelujah. And I begin to say, oh God, give them wisdom, bring him to a place of righteousness. My God! You know, I am not ignorant of what I pray, brethren. If God decides to touch the flesh of my son, I am going to feel the pain. But I much rather have God touch the flesh of my son and bear the pain for the sake of righteousness in his soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Do you know that God just translated? You have all those disciples, huh? All those disciples in this condition. And he translated them by virtue of the word he gave them. Translated them prophetically. Hallelujah. Do you hear me?
Amen.
There is something of the power in the word that we are bringing you that will give you the strength to be translated. It's in the word. Did you hear me? It's in the word. It's in the word. That's why you don't have Bibles. That's why the devil doesn't want you to have Bibles. We were in India. And there was a man that was a Hindu. He lived out in the bush. He was a drunkard. He also was a man that took that narcotic that they make out of a bush there. Somebody gave him a Bible. No preacher. I don't know where he got the Bible. And he began to read the Bible. Do you know that the Bible cured his drunkenness? The Bible cured his narcotic problem. The word that he was living delivered him out of his Hindu theology. No preacher. Did you hear me? No church. Just a man in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what else? One day when he was traversing through the jungle, he met a man that was not a Hindu or an Indian. He wasn't an Indian. He was dressed different than him. Hallelujah. Now this was his testimony to us. When we saw him in Madras, he had his Bible and he was walking through the jungle, and a man comes down the path to meet him. Hallelujah. Only this man was from God. He says, I'm going to send you to a big city. And there you're going to meet some people. And they're going to tell you the thing that is between the covers of this book that you have. And we begin to share this word. Hallelujah. Not this exact word, but the word of the kingdom. The desire of God from the very beginning to create man in his image and in his likeness. He got up in the middle of the meeting and he said, you are the men. You are the men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what that man is doing now. I think he's probably there in the jungle somewhere, bringing light. Hallelujah. 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 So let me read just a few more scriptures here. It says, verse, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. Brethren, it's the word of God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
That brings the sanctification. Sanctification is conviction. You begin to do something and something inside of you wants to say, no, don't do it. Our obedience to the voice is the process that brings the sanctification. My cry to God is, give me the ability and the desire to be sanctified. I trust that it will also be yours. God bless you.
Salamat po sa Diyos na naghahat at karatog tungkalong kamapagtog ka sa tuyong tungkol sa Diyos.
Amen.
Sir Melinda?
Thank you.
Sir,
thank you for the word.
Salamat.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you. Salamat po sa Diyos. Salamat po sa Diyos. Salamat po sa Diyos.